If you'll turn with me to the 141st Psalm to begin with. With the Lord's help, speak to you. Verse number 2. I don't think I've ever used this as far as drawing a text. I probably have used it before some way, but I if I have used it before, that's all right too. Before we begin, would you bow with me as we seek our Lord? Our Father, as we requested in Him, awake, O heavenly wind, we're waiting for that. For that stillness, that holy hush that is brought upon a congregation for thy word has come into their midst. We wait, we hope, we trust, we pray that one day we might leave here with a sobering testimony. God was in that place. We thank you for the light thus far, for the work of the Spirit in our hearts thus far. My Father, He is so silent, and we struggle through the week longing for a word from Thee, looking for, searching, but I know that it will not be in vain. You never put in our hearts to ask just to turn us down, not on requests such as this. So come, Spirit of God, bring us into an awareness of a holy presence. Lord, would you give us hearing ears? Would you give us a word from Thee? Refresh our hearts. Make it as that good news from a far land, as that cool, refreshing drink of water. Help these dear souls give utterance, wisdom, guidance, and direction by the Spirit of God. For no man is capable of presenting truth so that it becomes effectual upon hearts. That's all in thy hands, Almighty God. Exalt your Son in thy great name. And again, I ask that you might help those later that might receive thy word, all for thine own glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 141:1, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Now that's David, man after God's own heart, asking God to give ear to his voice, to his cry, to his plea. Verse number 2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. And I guess to kind of shorten that, but I do not want to leave out any in that phrase. My prayer set forth as incense. And for when we pray, or when we do what we call praying, is there any sincerity or honesty in our souls that it might be pleasing, honoring, and glorifying to our Lord? Overall, sometimes the need, and I'll deal with that hopefully later, is so desperate situation you're in. That's all you can ask for. But David's asking that his prayer be set forth before God. Lord, I want you to hear me. When I pray, I want it to be as incense. As I've said before, if I had the deciding vote as to whether or not prayer would once again be brought back into the schools without any knowledge other than a request in prayer, I'd cast a no vote. You say, that's not right. Everybody needs to pray. Well, okay, I agree. But I want to know what God they're praying to. And if I could cast the deciding vote as to Bible study, I'd want to know what Bible. I'd want to know who's going to be teaching it. Do they have a heart for the Lord, or are they Christians? And so I guess in both of those, my vote would be no. I'd vote against it. There are too many gods, and there are too many versions. And before long, you'll have another one, or you can pick up at a bookstore or online. Now David said before thee, that is, there is an awareness of the one that he is speaking to. He knows the God that I'm talking to can hear. He knows that my God is different than those that other nations And sometimes even the children of Israel have carved out their own idols. Of course they put eyes in their head and ears on the side of their head. Give them hands and they give them feet. And they give them a nose. But they don't hear. They don't see. There is no sense of smell that could ever enter into their nostrils. David's God, my God, I hope your God, is different than that. And if I call upon God, then I know that this one must have power to do what I ask. If I want my prayer to be right before God, if I want it to enter into the ears of the Lord of glory, and He be pleasing and smile upon me, then I've got to know about this God to a degree that He has power to do what I ask, and that I ask it for the right motive. I mean, the prophets of Baal cried out for hours upon hours, cut themselves, blood dripping off of them. But their God could not hear, certainly could not answer. David said, let my prayer be set forth. That is, prepared in here. Ordered correctly, be directed aright. Many good illustrations in the Old Testament, we won't look at them. Abraham, before there was ever a law given, took his son and the wood and the fire and went up that mount, and he set the wood in order. Aaron, later on, by the command of God, lay the wood in order on the altar of God. Elijah, when he got through making fun of the prophets of Baal, and before he ever called upon God, put those stones around, fixed that sacrifice as it ought to have been, cut in different pieces, wet it down time and again. And Elijah laid the wood in order. That's what David's talking about. When I get ready for a sacrifice, when I get ready to make my request known unto Thee, Lord, let it be ordered correctly. Let it be arranged before Thee, as that wood was carefully arranged before any sacrifice was ever offered. The same man said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. I will direct my prayer, direct. I will prepare, I will lay in order that I'm going to say to you. Is it not a shame, dear children, that we do not have the time to fix all these things in our mind? We're not quiet and still long enough when we attempt to approach God to make certain that everything is in order. Now this I am fully convinced, that the only prayer that our God will ever hear from one that the Spirit has brought to a condition of knowing that he or she is a sinner is a prayer of repentance and a prayer of confession. Blind man had it right in John 9 that was healed. We know that God heareth not sinners. They got to have their prayer right. And it's going to be repentance before God ever hears anything else. And at least until there is an acknowledgement of who and what as to the one that we are approaching, one weighted down with guilt, condemnation, and under awful judgment, awaiting, you know there's concern. That's not today. You don't know anybody that's concerned about eternity, about their soul out there. I hope that's not true of any here. And in a prayer of repentance, confession, I am a sinner. I am deserving of eternal banishment and eternal judgment. That's sweet incense to God. About any order or prayer set forth as incense, if in my heart it is broken, I'm under weight, conviction. And it does not seem to me that there would be any fragrance from a mourning soul. And yet there is rising to the heart of God from that needy sinner a sweet, sweet smell. Prodigal son gets back close to his father's house. Father runs to meet him and he says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven, number one, and before thee." But beyond what the prodigal son had done, spent his living, there was rising in the nostrils of his father a sweet, sweet aroma that lifted him, the father, above all the odor that the son might have picked up in that foreign country and in the hog pen. That didn't matter to the father. Didn't matter that he was dirty and had an odor about him. That son came back with a repentant heart, "I've sinned against heaven." And that father looked, and that was to him, oh, such a sweet, sweet fragrance, incense there. No sweeter incense to a parent who's teaching and training their children to do right, expecting and demanding that they do right. One day that child comes and says, "I did wrong. You were right. I said what I shouldn't have said. I acted like I shouldn't have acted." And to that parent that spent years from childhood on up training, there's no sweeter words that could ever be said to a mom or dad. "I was wrong. I did wrong. You were right." Most young people today don't do anything wrong. All of them sweet little fellows, whatever they do, we as a society and we as generally speaking as parents, we just overlook it. They didn't mean anything bad. Told you what Ma Wesley said, raising 17 children, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, the Lord used so. She said, "If you haven't broken a child's will by the time they're 2 years old, you're going to have trouble." But nobody Young folk don't do wrong today. Whatever I do is right. Now, in our verse here, David asks that his prayer be to the nostrils of his God sweet incense. And he said, I'll direct my prayers unto thee. I'll prepare. Now, folk, I doubt any time was spent in getting the wood in order. When Nathan pointed his finger in the face of David and said, thou art the man. I don't think David took time. Don't think he had anything on his mind about getting wood in order, other than his approach to God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly. Cleanse me against thee and thee only have I sinned. He might not have taken time after conviction of him being guilty of that. Might not have taken time to get everything just right and his words just right. But it was so sweet to his father to hear a son that had transgressed come back and plead for mercy and forgiveness and cleansing and acknowledgement. Wait a minute, David, didn't you sin against Bathsheba? Didn't you sin against her husband? Didn't you sin against your own family, the nation of Israel? Yes, but primarily it was against God. Against thee and thee only. Yet, to his father, from that broken heart, may not have taken time to get the sacrifice just right and the wood lay in order just right on the altar, but it flowed from a sincere heart and it was sweet to his father. At times, children, things will be so pressing upon you and necessity so great, and the situation you're in so dangerous, that you just rush into the presence of God. Like the passage that was read to us this morning. Lord, don't you care? We perish. They didn't take time. They were going down in the storm. They didn't take time. No preparation of heart. Necessity meant they had to get Christ and get him awake. Nehemiah standing before the king, and it could have meant your life if you had a sad countenance before the king. The king came in and said, why? Because Nehemiah said, I'd never been sad before. But the king asked me why I was sad. I was sore afraid. He told him about his city, told him about his people. And the king said, what's your request? And Nehemiah, without any hesitation, standing in the presence of this powerful king, he said, so I prayed to the God of heaven. He had one specific need. What did I tell him? My life is in danger here. But that prayer to his father was as sweet incense. Because you, the child of God, acknowledge the power in the heart of God, like the disciples, save, Lord, or I perish. That's sweet. Most in praying that I hear today, not talking about any of you out there, is only for a selfish need. That's all they think concerning self when they go to God. James said, you ask, you receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. Most prayers today are like the Pharisees talking to themselves, but they thought that they were impressing others that heard them. They liked to be heard for their long prayers. But their words were just vain babblings that God paid absolutely no attention to them. Let my prayer be ordered in my heart and set forth unto thee and before thee as sweet incense. Now, I've given you a couple of illustrations there that there are times that you won't have time to get everything in order. You've got to get to your Father. You got to get there now. Now turn back with me to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30 and verse number 34. Moses, God talking to Moses about the holy anointing oil and its composition, and forbidding anybody to compound it. If they do, they'll be cut off. Can't have any generic here. Verse number 34, Exodus 30. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte, onycha, gabbanum, these sweet spices, and pure frankincense. Of each there shall be like weight. Thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. Here's what it's going to be. Now turn over to the next book, Leviticus chapter number 16. Leviticus 16 and verse number 12. God said, you better not make anything like it. This is how it's to be. And he gave them the spices to make up that sweet incense. Now verse number 12 of Leviticus 16, he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense. Mark this word, at least in mine, beaten, crushed, small, and bring it within the veil. These sacrifices of God are a broken, crushed, break in pieces spirit and a contrite heart. That sweet incense, beaten down and crushed. You remember a few weeks back, looked at Zacharias in the holy place in there offering incense. He's offering it because God commanded it. He brought in those spices wherein he was to burn in there, to rise to God, to God. But the one thing about incense, even a broken and contrite heart, it had no aroma until fire from off the altar was put under it. My prayer unto God, as incense has efficacy only if it's kindled by fire from the altar. Coming from the altar, our only sacrifice where Christ paid the debt. Got to be fire in your prayer. You don't just go in and perform some little duty of praying to God. I hear so many today, and they're asking this of God and that out there. And I'm thinking, you're not led by the Spirit of God. What you're asking is not going to be. Paul said in Ephesians 6:18, pray in all ways with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Jude verse 20, building up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's fire under that. That carries that aroma back to your Father's heart. If I do not have direction or guidance or unction coming only from fire, from the altar, my prayers are only words. My God does not hear. But if when I bend my knee and I'm directed by the Holy Ghost of God, these requests, be they whatever, directed by the Spirit of God, they are to my Father sweet incense. 1 John 5:14, this is a confidence that we have if we ask anything according to His will. How do I know His will? Well, my needs, my wounds. Now, you better back up there. You can only know His will by walking in the Spirit. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. I'll ask you to turn, but Leviticus 26, God said, I'll make your cities waste. I'll bring your sanctuaries to desolation and will not smell the sweet savor of your sweet odor. You can make the compound. You can put it precisely the exact weights that God gave to Moses. You can have all that. But you're living in sin. And I'm not going to smell. It's not going to be to me a sweet odor. Amos 5, God said, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Our gathering's not good enough. It's just the beginning. There must flow from our heart while here in devotion in Him, in the message, in prayer, there must flow from our heart that which is pleasing and acceptable unto God and sweet incense. That's where our prayers are set forth as incense. No known sin, honest. I didn't say you were without sin. You'll never be. I'm just saying there's no known sin you're conscious of. You bow and there's an honest, sincere heart. That's sweet to your Father. I can only paraphrase it. It's been so many years ago since I read it, but it was one of J.C. Philpott's writings. He was talking about an old saint in the closet, weeping, doubting, uncertain, yet crying out to the Lord for help and pleading. He said, she may have, and I'll add our words for the message, she may have flowing from her heart a sweeter incense to the Lord than that warrior out there on the battlefield. Is it so, dear child of God, with you that have been in the knee, you're conscious that what you ask, you want it pleasing to God? Are you just asking something amiss to consume it upon your own lust. Well, as the Spirit of God and only as He directs, can something flow from your heart so pleasing and acceptable and honoring unto God. One last, Ezekiel chapter number 20. Ezekiel 20 and verse number 41. I will accept you for your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you've been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. When I bring you out, I'll accept your sweet savor. Cain accepted while you mingled with the ungodly. Now, folk, you've got to work with them. That's not what I'm saying. You gotta go shop where they are, and you gotta exist with the ungodly. But they don't have to have an influence on you. I will accept you with your sweet savor. When I bring you out, when I separate you unto myself, when I call you my own peculiar people. And David, this David that we're talking about, David asked God about some of these folk. He said, when he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Oh. One thing I don't want, sinful praying. David wanted his prayer before God not to be condemned, but rise to the greatest height. Where God looked upon him in such great. I would say adoration, such great love. And yes, God, if you adore your children, where'd you get that? You think God doesn't when our hearts are right before Him? Do you think that our Lord, having been fashioned in the likeness of, Scripture said, sinful flesh, but now so that nobody out there will misunderstand, He was without sin. He just had our flesh. Do you think that Jesus Christ, having all the emotions of a human, every emotion you got, except in Him, it was all sanctified. Do you think, having the emotions you got, would not love you just to come and sit quietly before Him, to walk with Him? Simply because that's where you love to be. Don't you think that would be pleasing? Don't you think that would be sweet incense and carry floating from your heart such an aroma to our God? Oh, my dove, that are in the clefts of the rocks, in the secret places, place of the stairs. Now listen, let me see thy countenance. I know I've quoted that to you 100 and dozen times, but listen, let me see thy countenance. You're hidden. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and sweet is thy countenance. You're beautiful to me. Got a lovely voice. and prayer. I am totally convinced is the most spiritual duty you'll ever perform. For there, your heart is engaged with the living God. Now, I'm not minimizing your time in the book. I'm not minimizing your time in the worship service. I'm just saying they come under prayer as to the spirituality of them. And when our heart is engaged with the living God, it includes confession, repentance, and at times it includes asking for temporal needs and daily guidance. But beyond all this, there's a place above, beyond my personal needs. That's a soul just delighting in the Lord's presence. You don't have to talk to Him. You just, as David, sat down before the Lord. Just delighting to be there. Now, what husband or leave out you wives would be thrilled, what husband, to see his wife coming to sit down where he was, and all the time him knowing the only reason she's doing that is because she's fixing to ask something. She wants a new outfit. She wants a new living room suit. She wants a new car. No, that's not a relationship. But oh, what husband would not delight to see his wife come? Not because she wanted something, but she just delighted to sit down and commune and talk with. Now, I know husbands and wives, moms and dads have their family and personal chores. But is not our Lord to be loved, fellowship enjoyed, not because we're always in need? There never is a day or never is an hour that I'm not in need. Sometimes you just rise above all that. And our Lord's to be loved, and fellowship with Him's to be enjoyed. Not because I want something from Him or need something. I just like my quiet time with Him. That's the height of prayer. And that's the sweetest of the sweet incense that flows to God. Now you can see a little of the heart of David when he said, Lord, when I'm talking to you, let it be sweet incense. And David asked for a lot of things in life, and David got a lot of things from the Lord. At times David acted foolishly. But overall, he just had a heart for his God and his Father and his Lord, that he wanted that flowing from within upward to be as a sweet aroma to his God.